The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Anthony Davis is back, Lake Show family. The Hoopball Lakers podcast here to take you through his return. Lakers come out with a loss against Dallas. That said, it's all about looking forward at this point. Hopefully LeBron James not too far behind him. JC, of course, with me. JC DeLeon 1 on Twitter. JC DeLeon number 1 in your hearts, JC. Anthony Davis, he pretty much looked like, first of all, it was just great to see Anthony Davis back on the court. All right, I don't even want to analyze the play yet. I just enjoyed seeing Anthony Davis back in a Laker uniform once again, right? I mean, I think everybody's got to be happy about that.
Yeah, for sure. I full disclosure, didn't see the first half because I thought he would play in the second half. But, yeah, by all accounts, he looked good, just rusty.
I mean, look, man, the amount of time we have seen this Lakers team at less than full strength has felt like a year within a year that's already felt like 5 years. So it's just all a giant time matrix at this point. Anthony Davis was back on the court playing Lakers basketball this evening. That is the big storyline. Of course, we'll get into the Lakers loss. And you're right, man. I mean, I think, look, the biggest objective in this game, win or lose, was that Anthony Davis emerges healthy, right? Because that was the sort of the number one concern when he first came to the team, which is something that we've talked about plenty in the past, okay, is that Anthony Davis is always, you know, limping up and down the court or going down hard or jamming this or twisting that. No chronic injury, which is why, you know, you're not concerned if you got a good head on your shoulders, but all these little, you know, sort of bruises, bumps, hiccups, call them whatever you want. Now he's coming off of an injury, JC, that is a concern in terms of the long term, and you really have to slow play this thing to get it right. Unfortunately, Lakers don't have a lot of time left in their regular season, JC. I mean, time is sort of now of the essence. After tonight's game, just 13 games left in the regular campaign. So, you know, Anthony Davis looked rusty, but the Lakers are going to give him some time. But how much time can they really afford him with LeBron James still sidelined?
Yeah, time is a weird thing. Like, the end of the regular season is creeping up. The pandemic has just thrown all sorts of things into whack. Cause like I follow all sorts of like on this day in NBA history, and it's like, we should be in the playoffs now. I didn't even realize that with the calendar.
Yeah. First second week of the playoffs right about now.
Yeah. And as far as Anthony Davis is concerned, yeah, I didn't even realize it had been 67 days and 30 missed games, 30 consecutive missed games, not counting the other ones throughout the season. And
it's unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable. 67 days. I mean, I can't even, if it feels like, we know Anthony Davis has been out for a long time, obviously, JC, but you're right about this time construct, especially in the midst of all this craziness. Man, it feels good to see him play basketball in a Lakers uniform. I really, you know, as good as Dennis Schroeder has been at times for this team, including tonight, 25-13 in this game, and we'll talk about him going forward a little bit. As good as Kyle Kuzma has been at times, as the numbers Andre Drummond has shown he's capable of putting up at times, you take Anthony Davis off this team, you take LeBron James off this team, I mean, it just shows you how unbelievably, generationally good these guys are and how we cannot underappreciate them while they're playing for the purple and gold.
Yeah, for sure. And looking at his box score tonight, like he looks like he put up 10 shots, so he looked like he was aggressive, just rusty, and you got to figure that'll come. And yeah, LeBron's got to be back sooner than later, and they've got to ramp this thing up, especially since all these guys that have been playing minutes, I mean, Kuzma's probably got to be tired because he's been playing so many minutes. I'm sure Markieff is tired. Trez is tired. Like they've all stepped up pretty admirably, but yeah, everyone's got to come back and minutes have to sort of amp down.
Well, I think you make a great point, and it's something I kind of wanted to segue into. Now, the Lakers are still in that five spot, and they've got a, I don't know if I want to call it a comfortable lead over Portland and Dallas right now, but they have a cushion there, okay? Obviously, you don't want to drop down any further than the five spot. You don't want to start getting into the playoff, play-in games, all that sort of mix here. But I think you bring up an interesting consideration in terms of minutes and sort of the larger picture for me and something I was thinking about during this game. The Lakers do an incredible job of keeping their business internal, right? I mean, you would think for a franchise that housed both LeBron James and Anthony Davis, with Rob Pelinka as the general manager, executive vice president, king of the world, whatever his official title is now for the Lakers, okay, running the show. You think at times Woj would get a little information besides maybe a 10-day deal or something minor, or Shams might get a little information, but the Lakers are incredibly tight-lipped, and it's a well-run ship there, and it's a real credit to them and the players who are invested. The agents, too. That said, we haven't really heard about any chemistry issues with this team dating back to last season. And that's something that we talked about last year on this podcast, JC, how, you know, one of the things that really benefited that club was that everybody truly liked each other. There was a real camaraderie within that group, right? Even with the late season additions of guys like Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith, Markieff Morris added to that when he came in for sure. This season, I don't know that same level of camaraderie exists. And I'm not trying to say that there are issues in the locker room. It's just there is so much new on this team that it's hard to replicate that exact same feeling with an almost brand new cast of characters, even if the key players who are integral to the script are still there. So my question to you becomes, as the Lakers have played this sort of grinding schedule without AD, and now that he's back, you know, but still without LeBron, and as the minutes shake out in a different fashion than they may have earlier in the season, and especially recently, do we get a little bit more of that? Because Marcus Gasol is out of the mix. Montrezl Harrell's minutes could very well be further impacted. Not every guard can play 20 minutes a game. So I'm curious what you think about that.
I do think it still sort of remains to be seen, just because with all the injuries and, you know, LeBron and AD have missed so many games, it's hard to know if that chemistry can translate on the court. I think one of the things that's been encouraging to me, because I've sort of had the same thought, is I've looked at like Schroeder, because Schroeder can be kind of hard to read sometimes, especially given how non-committal he's been with not signing his extension, and right off the bat wanting to, you know, saying he wants to start and things like that. He seems to get along really well with Caruso on the court, and I've kind of watched their interactions together. And so they, you know, he seems to like him playing with him. Dress seems to like playing with Caruso and things like that. And so I think the chemistry will be there once they just have more time. And I think in the playoffs, once you start winning, that sort of breeds, you know, happiness within the team. And so I think that'll come.
And I think one of the things the Lakers have to be considerate of is just chemistry and that careful dynamic going forward. Of course, no matter what happens, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, when they're back on the court playing basketball together, that's ultimately what's going to dictate everybody's feelings, right? Nobody's going to complain if they play 0 minutes in the championship and the Lakers win it again, okay? No one's going to complain about getting that ring. But I just think it's an interesting sort of consideration as we move forward. Now, I want to get back to this game that was just played. We're all caught up in Anthony Davis's return, which is, of course, the main story, and it's great. And, you know, we'd love to see him back on the court, and it's wonderful. Peaches to that. That said, JC, I was not terribly impressed with what I saw overall in this game. This felt like a winnable game. The Lakers had the sort of supporting stats to support a potential win. 16 turnovers. This turnover issue is becoming rampant for this club, and they have to take better care of the basketball. Now, Andre Drummond was almost a team high. He was plus 14 in this game. Or excuse me, he was a team high. right? He was a team high. Plus 14 for Andre Drummond, okay? He put up 14 points, 19 rebounds. He had three blocks in this game. Played 31 minutes. And the reason I'm reading the box score so dramatically, okay, in case anyone's wondering, is because there were times, JC, where I felt like he wasn't even out there. And I'm sort of wondering, am I crazy? The stat line says he was out there and he was effective across the board. But my eyes sort of told me a different story.
Yeah, it's hard for him to... I think in order for him to make his presence felt, he... Like, years ago, he used to be really good at turning and facing, and he used to have a pretty good handle in, you know, when he would turn and face players at the basket. And it seems like every time he turns and faces a basket and tries to make a pass, it equates to a turnover, which is why he had three of them tonight. But I did see a couple of instances where I think Schroeder has yet to really find his pick and roll chemistry with Andre Drummond. I think they've tried. It doesn't look like it's quite landed yet. Kyle Kuzma had a really good pick and roll with Drummond tonight that led to an alley-oop. It was towards the end in as much garbage time as a 5-point game can muster garbage time, but that's sort of what it was. But yeah, I think that's just what he needs. Is he needs more time to acclimate to the players that he's around, because he needs their help in order for him to make an impact as far as scoring baskets. He's grabbing rebounds, because that's what he does, 19 tonight. But yeah, other than that, it's hard for him to make a really huge impact, or he hasn't been making an impact.
It keeps coming back to time, and that's really been such a core theme of this Lakers season, going back to when they won the championship to the quick restart of the season for them. You know, what was it, 72 days or whatever it was. And this, I feel like at a lot of points this year, we've said, oh, if the Lakers only had a little bit more time, whether it was within a game, within a specific week, and of course now, you know, having played without AD until tonight, and of course LeBron for so long. And weirdly, it's almost felt like LeBron and Anthony Davis have missed the same amount of time. And like we were just saying, AD had literally missed twice the amount of time that James has to date. Drummond, I think, is what he is, right? We're seeing why in his previous destinations, he's not really a player that you can build around and have be your number one sort of guy out there. Okay, I think at best he's a three, which is what he could be on this team. But I think he's really one of those guys who's he just is what he is. And I think if we embrace him for that, rather than always sort of hoping that there's something more. And I don't mean this as a knock on Drummond. I mean, he when I say he is what he is, he's obviously a very effective basketball player. Okay. Like, I mean, the rebounding in particular. But I think if we just embrace what he is as a player and understand that's what it's going to be, we would have a better sort of overall perception of how to evaluate him. And I think that's true of, like, anything in life, to be honest with you. But in particular, Drummond, I feel like there's always been this thought that, oh, man, if he could only just do this consistently or this a little bit better. And right, it's a little bit like chasing a unicorn. So anyway, I'm going to sort of get off of that rant on Drummond. But that's sort of my overall takeaway there. Schroeder was awesome in this game. I mean, 25 points and 13 assists, 4 turnovers. You know, I'd prefer if he didn't turn the ball over that frequently. But 13 assists makes up for that. 9 of 13 from the field. I mean, he really played well. KCP, 29 points in this game. I mean, one of the best games I've seen from KCP maybe all season long. Those guys, if they can play at that level, and I realize the shot volume won't be there, JC, but if they can play at that level with Anthony Davis in the lineup as a preface for LeBron James returning, the Lakers would really be in a good spot coming out of all of this.
Yeah, lately Schroeder and KCP have been hitting the 3-point shots, and so is Caruso for a little bit. And so I think if those guys can maintain 3-point accuracy that hovers around, you know, 36 to, you know, 40%, that'll open up the offense more. And that's one of the things that when the Lakers were really clicking earlier this season, they were clicking when they were getting extra wide open shots. They were getting more wide open shots from 3-point land than any other team, in the league when they were clicking. And so, yeah, hopefully that does come back. And as far as Drummond, yeah, I think the ultimate test for him and his viability with his team will really be how well he adjusts and plays with LeBron James, which is something that he's said on his Twitter account that he's wanted to do. And so I think while he's been struggling a little bit with Schroeder doesn't look like he really trusts him 100%. It's sort of a weird thing that one of the only things that I can read from Schroeder at times on the court where he seems a little hesitant to make a pass the way he's not hesitant at all to pass to Trezen and pick and roll. Schroeder seems to just sort of be, you know, getting used to Drummond the way Drummond's getting used to him. And yeah, I think the ultimate test for him will be how well he can adjust to playing with LeBron.
I think that's the ultimate test for any Laker, so long as it's the LeBron James era, but you make good points up and down the board. Wesley Matthews did not play tonight, JC, joining Marc Gasol as one of the odd men out of the rotation. Do you think that will be a consistent trend going forward? And it's not like Ben McLemore played a ton, okay? He played 10 minutes, Talen Horton-Tucker only 12 minutes in this game. It was Caruso who had the most minutes off the bench out of anyone at 28. Gasol and Matthews were sort of gassed up. Matthews much more than Gasol as Lakers offseason additions that would improve their depth. Right now they're both sitting on the bench. What's your take on that?
I think it'll be matchup specific. I think there'll be times where Wesley Matthews, his defensive impact will be more of a necessity than whatever Ben McLemore can provide. And so I think that's where he'll see minutes. And Gasol, I think it's also matchup dependent. If they, you know, he might match up fairly well against a Jokic out in the West, or, you know, any other slower type center out in the West in the playoffs, or perhaps even maybe Embiid if that's who they end up playing in the finals, if they get that far, if either team gets that far. And so, yeah, I think they're matchup dependent, basically.
This team is without question big man heavy, JC. Do you kind of, you know, I know you in the past have been a champion of bringing Trevor Ariza back to the Lakers. And I had some doubts about that, but he's played much better than I expected him to in Miami and clearly can still contribute. Do you think the Lakers are missing a player on this team in that mold?
I mean, maybe. I think when they signed Ben McLemore, he's a good signing for what he brings to the table offensively. I think they would have been better off trying to find a more impactful defensive player. You know, Otto Porter never really became available, and Trevor Ariza found what I think is really the perfect situation for him in Miami. I think he fits into that culture really well. I think if Ben McLemore was a little bit better of a defensive player, that's sort of what they needed more. But in the end, with what was available, I think they did as best as they could.
So too, I'm just sort of reflecting on the overall construct, and I think the Lakers will make it a point going into next year, no matter what happens, to have a more balanced roster. Of course, they're going to have some interesting decisions ahead with Schroeder and Talen Horton-Tucker being eligible for free agency, among several other players. As the Lakers sort of try to get back on track for the rest of this year, beyond Anthony Davis being healthy and back with the team, the focus now shifts to LeBron James and his ability to get back on the court in a game that matters for the Lakers. When Woj initially reported, you know, the soft target of AD's return date, the report was such that LeBron James shouldn't be too much later. The most recent update is that he's still expected to be out for several weeks. It was phrased in such a way where it was almost make you wondering if he was going to be out until the postseason. The Nets facing a similar scenario with James Harden right now. Is LeBron James further behind than I think he is?
I mean, he may be, but he might also really just kind of be taking advantage of the rest that he's able to get and really ramp up for the playoffs. Because when he's able to come back, it doesn't seem like he's going to come back to a scenario like AD did tonight where he's just going to play, you know, 17 minutes and only play in the first half. I think when LeBron comes, he's not going to come back until he's 100% ready. And when he's able to activate the Zero Dark 30 that he does.
And I think, you know, at that time, Lakers fans will be thrilled to have him in that state. I'm just, you know, I guess I'm just wondering about where exactly he is in his rehab. It seems to me that he's pretty far along. I don't think he's weeks away. If I had to guess, JC, I would say maybe like first week of May, right? So I don't know that that's weeks away, but it's not exactly around the corner either. So the Lakers are going to have to continue to roll out with this squad, and I think this will be a good sort of experiment to see where they're at with AD back in the fold, albeit limited for however long he's going to be limited, but ahead of LeBron James returning, because they don't really need to adjust for LeBron James returning. It's, you know, when LeBron James returns, I mean, that's going to be what it is. Now the Lakers' upcoming schedule, they take on the same Dallas Mavericks team on Saturday night. They play Orlando, Washington, Sacramento, and Toronto before closing their schedule, as we've discussed ad nauseum before, with a really difficult stretch, okay? The Lakers almost need to go 5-0 during this stretch, JC.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they can back-to-back, I think, favors the Lakers for the second matchup, especially seeing as how they really weren't that far behind in this matchup. For as good a defensive team as they are, Luka did kind of go off tonight, and so you got to figure they can put a better handle on that the next game. But yeah, once they face that stretch of Nuggets, Clippers, Blazers, Suns, and the Knicks, who are not a joke anymore.
Knicks are legit, man.
Yeah,
they are legit, and Julius Randle is a man. He is a beast. He is a monster. He is a dog. He is a player, man. Woo! Yeah. Julius Randle can hoop.
Yeah, and you know, through all that, it does look at the very least like the Lakers do end the regular season with three fairly easy games with Rockets, Pacers, Pelicans. So there is that relief. But yeah, in the middle of the stretch that's left, it does go semi-difficult, fairly easy, really difficult, and then pretty easy. So it's sort of an up and down roller coaster.
Lakers need to find themselves back in sort of at least the semi-permeable rhythm here as they sort of trot forward to the playoffs. And, you know, I think LeBron probably wants to be back for that game versus the Nuggets. And if not versus the Nuggets on May 3rd, JC, definitely for that game against the Clippers on the 6th. I think that's probably a sort of reasonable expectation for his return. I think he's looking at the schedule upcoming and seeing the same thing that we are, right? I mean, Mavericks are obviously a tough opponent, and that's an important game, but he's not ready yet. But Orlando, Washington, although Russell Westbrook has been a machine of late, Sacramento and Toronto, I mean, these are teams the Lakers, in particular with Anthony Davis, should be able to beat.
Yeah, for sure.
So as the Lakers continue this stretch forward, that's what we'll be looking for. JC, it is always a pleasure. You guys, make sure you're following us on Twitter at HoopBallLakers. Always get the newest flavor in your ear right away. He's at JCDeLeon1. I'm at Ethan_Noroff. Only one F on the last name. And until next time, we out.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.